There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal.
Welcome to No Mere Mortals Cover to Cover Series. The Cover to Cover Series is a chronological journey through the moments in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, centered on the main character of Jesus Christ. In 2020, the Lord directed the start of the Cover to Cover Series that originally began as weekly installments for Sunday morning youth teachings at a local church. In 2023, the Cover to Cover Series will move to being a podcast series, and Lord willing, will continue to be weekly installments.
Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse 10 this morning. So again, for all of those who are joining us here on YouTube or in the Zoom room, we are in Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse 10. But let me just read for us real quick out of chapter 13, verse 14 through 17. And it says, "And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give to you and your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you." Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this time together. Lord, I just pray that as we gather this morning, Lord, that you would speak to us as you spoke to Abram. God, would our hearts and minds be receptive to hear from you? And would we respond in complete obedience and experience the blessing of walking according to your word? In your son's name, amen. Last week in the book of Genesis, we saw another promise that God gave to Abram, all the way back, as we're told by Stephen in Acts, that actually when he was still in Ur of the Chaldeans, when he was on the other side of the mess, when he was the other side in Mesopotamia, and it says there in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Now, last week we saw that God was faithful to be calling Abram, and just the faithfulness of God, regardless of man's response to that, but God being faithful to his word and his call. But that we saw that partial obedience is complete disobedience. And that to obey is better to sacrifice. We saw that like Abram was being called to, that for us to follow Jesus would cost us everything. That Jesus demands you give him everything, your money, your time, your cares, your pain, your fear. He wants it all. That God is faithful to his word, and his word does not return void. He will do a work in and through you. You just have to trust his leading, even when you don't know where it leads. And as we ended last week, we saw that the reminder from Abram is that this world is not your home. And like Abram, we look for a city whose builder and maker is God. So we ended in verse 9 last week of Genesis 12. And it said, "So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south." And that's where we pick up in Genesis chapter 12, verse 10. It says, "Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife, 'Indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live.'" Now, this was not actually absurd for Abram to think, because actually it's very interesting that during that period, that adultery was thought of worse than murder. That to sleep with another man's wife was something to bring curses upon. And so because murder was less than, they would actually kill a man and then take his wife. And they somehow found their right legalistic mindset of circumventing morality by saying, well, if we just kill a man, then I'm not committing the act of adultery. Verse 13, Abram says to her, please say you are my sister. Now, when we looked at the genealogy last week, we see that this is a half-truth because Sarai is a half-sister of Abram. But the truth of the matter is that a half-truth is just a complete lie. And he continues and says to her, that it may be well with me for your sake, that I may live because of you. We see an incredible selfishness of Abram right now. He is so self-centered and thinking of his own welfare. And yet we're told in Ephesians that husbands are to love their wives as Jesus loved the church and gave his life for her. That a husband should be willing to lay down his life, if that is in the immediacy or as that is as a living sacrifice to lay down. But here, Abram is in two places as he's selfishly thinking of his own welfare, and yet he's also forgetting that God had already given him a promise to make him a father of a great nation. We've read through two of those promises. Another one we'll revisit. But again, when Abraham was in Mesopotamia, he was in Ur the Chaldeans, God had been continually telling him, go and I will. Go and I will. I will make you a mighty nation. And as Abram didn't have a single child yet, he should have realized that God's not done. That the God who called me here is faithful to his word, but Abram is trusting in his own works and in a selfish mindset. And we're going to see just all the pain that causes. It says in verse 14, so it was when Abram came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys and camels. So Abram is basically doling out, he sold his wife into this situation to another man, and he's receiving these material blessings, these material items for this. And just look at how things have just gotten so way out of control, way out of hand, that here was Abram who was called to a land, and he didn't trust God to provide for him when famine struck. God had told him to be in a place, and he didn't trust God to provide for him there. He didn't trust God to protect him, and in his selfishness, he is now using his wife in a way that is bringing a financial gain. But what I want us to again see throughout this moment is God is so faithful to his promises, even when we completely mess up. And that God is going to protect Sarai, even when her husband is truly acting like a schmuck. Verse 17 says, but the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues, but because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this you have done to me? And why did you not tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now, therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go away. So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him that they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. Now, this is just a sad moment where a non-believer, where really this pagan, false, idol-worshipping man is having to chastise a man who says he's following the one true God. And when non-believers have to call you out, that's a sad moment here. It's a marred witness. When I was in my high school days, my senior year, I remember this moment as I had been in a complete rebellion, living a double life. I had claimed to be a Christian and I went to church on Sundays, but on Saturdays I was living a completely different life. And it sticks with me to this very day. I will never forget being at a party in my high school days and this guy coming up to me with the things I had in my hand, and he looked right at me and said, I never thought I'd see you here. See, I claim to be one thing, but but I lived a completely different life. And in that moment, a non-believer, I'd say, I thought you said you were something different. Now, I want you to know there is no sin too big that God will not forgive. And God does not give up on us. I'm so grateful that even though I can look back with that as, with a bit of regret and disappointment, that I can look at that and say, despite of my failures, my God was faithful and he did not give up on me. He did not give up on Abraham, and he will never give up on you. Verse 13 says, then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and gold. Many people can look at their life circumstances, and if they do something that is immoral or something that is against God's word, but it brings somehow some sort of financial gain or a gain of any kind of temporary moment, is that you can convince yourself because of those things that somehow that's good or is justifiable. The end justifies the means sort of things. Guys, that is never true with God. The ends never justify the means. We are to walk fully by God's word. And what we're going to see is actually throughout the rest of this story is even this moment will have reverberating consequences throughout the rest of Abram's life. And truly, right, we just even in our own contemporary lives know the problem of stuff. I have quoted, and we'll quote again, the urban street poet, Christopher George Latour Wallace, or some may know him as Notorious B.I.G. I do not know what they want from me. It's like the more money we come across, the more problems we see. Or to shorten it, more money, more problems. Abraham is going to experience that very thing as we continue on. Verse 3 says, and he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai. So for those who feel the condemnation and weight as we fall to our sin and then the enemy tries to remind us of how much we've messed up, you might be saying to yourself and struggle with these moments, but I'm not worthy. No, you're not. But no one is. And God loves you anyway. He died for you and says that he wants to be with you. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But thank God, Jesus Christ paid that price so that you could spend eternal life with him. And after a complete failure in Egypt, God leads Abram back to where he first met with God in this land and built that altar. You can always turn around and come back. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 says, you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen, repent. That word repent is just a change of mind. And it looks as what we read in verse 4. It says that he went to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Abram calls out to God, God, I have messed up. I need you. This is what repentance looks like. To understand where we fall short and that we all have, but to recognize that we have a God who redeems and saves and says, God, I need you and I cannot do this on my own. And it's now from that renewed place that we continue on. It says in verse 5, Lot also went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. Now, again, they after Egypt have gone down, these city boys from Mesopotamia went into this land and were living in their tents, and then a famine hits and they go down to Egypt and they see this beautiful land and they gain material possessions. And then what does it bring? It brings fighting amongst them. The irony is it was never supposed to be this way because the land wasn't promised to Abraham and Lot. It was promised to Abraham. Remember, what God had told him is to leave your land and your family. Now, God is faithful, always is. But this is where we begin to see again the consequences reverberating of a lack of trust and the dangers of selfishness. Verse 7 says, there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. It says that these people of the land were dwelling in. This is, one of those sad moments where the people of the land, those not being led of the Lord, they see God's people, those who claim to be God's people, fighting amongst each other. They could almost get this meaning, oh, see, they're just like us. Children of God, this should never be. Jesus would say in John chapter 13, verse 35, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8, we're told exactly what this love looks like. That love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Now, this love spoken there by the Lord, it's not one that we saw demonstrated by Abram when he went into Egypt to his wife. It's not what we're seeing happen between Abraham's and Lot's men. So verse 8 says that Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen. For we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, I'll go right. If you go to the right, then I'll go left. Again, this could seem not fair that it was Abram who was called. And here he says, Lot, you choose. You can choose whatever you want. But what I want you guys to see here is even though he failed in this moment with Egypt, that he returned back, called on the name of the Lord, and we're all already seeing the amazing difference that God has made in Abram's life. And that he's going to seek first God in all things and to recognize it. He says, we're brethren, the world is watching. This is not how brothers and sisters in the Lord should be behaving. I'll put your desires before my own. Continuing on in verse 10, it says that Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Lot coming with Abram, going down to Egypt, he sees Egypt, and it stirred something inside of him. A desire to want the possessions, to hold on to the things of this world. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith and their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It is not possessions as Abraham was exceedingly wealthy, but it's desiring those things above God's will. To seek our kingdom before his. Now, Lot may be going through the motions here as a sojourner like Abram. He may outwardly seem like Abram, but on the inside, he desired the things of Egypt. Lot's a good example of a believer who has faith in God, but shows us the consequences of not striving to live like Jesus, and we'll see those. Matthew chapter 16, verse 25 says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he'll find it. Continue on verse 14, and says, and the Lord said to Abram after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Please understand, it's the obedience to God's word that will reveal the promises of God to you. If you want to hear God speak in your life, if you want God to direct you, Start by being obedient to what he has already told you to do. Verse 18 says, then Abraham moved his tent and went and dwelt by the Tebarinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. Now, interesting that, again, the word Mamre means enlarged or strengthened. So Abraham partially obeys God, gets into the land, continues to partially obey by keeping his nephew with him. It was to leave your land, leave your family, trust me. And in that place of incomplete obedience and complete disobedience, he's not trusting in God and selfishly heads to Egypt and then selfishly uses his wife as a tool that gains him just temporary gains. That then those things become a place of contention between him and his family. And instead of leaving on completely good terms, now there's strife and there's awkwardness of the separation. But in humbleness, saying, I'm gonna let you choose the best. I'll let you choose whatever you want. It's not about the possessions. It's about being obedient to the Lord. And it's in that place that Abraham finally begins to receive the strengthening and enlarging from the Lord. As we finish up this morning, going into chapter 14, it says, and it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elizar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that they made war with Bera, king of Sodom, Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Adama, Shimber, king of Zebulun, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar. All these joined together in the valley of Siddim, that is the Salt Sea. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. That was a bunch of mispronounced names of what areas. Basically, a bunch of guys have been paying taxes to this one guy, this one king, and they say, we don't want to pay taxes anymore. And guys, as long as there's kings or men who want to be kings, there will be war. What's interesting is that this is the first time in Scripture that war is mentioned. But understand that there is a day coming when Jesus will return. And the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he will reign on this world and all things will be set right. It says, in the 14th year of Tumor, the kings were with him. And they attacked the Rephaim and the Asaroth, the Carnaim and the Zazumim and Ham and Inim, the Shahiva and the Karathiam, and the Horites in their mountain of Seir as far as El Paran, which is by the wilderness. Then they turned back and came to En Misphat, that is Kadesh, and attacked all the country of the Amalekites and also the Amorites who dwelt in Hazazon Tamar. And the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah and the king of Admah and the king of Zebulun and the king of Bela, that is Zoar, went out and joined together in battle in the valley of Siddim against Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, Tidal, king of nations, Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, the king of Elizar. 4 kings against 5. Again, the first war mentioned in the Bible. Now the valley of Sodom was full of asphalt pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled. Some fell there, and the remainder fled to the mountains. Again, we had mentioned when it came to the Tower of Babel that there was the mentioning of the asphalt and the tar and the pit, and even here now in Genesis chapter 14. And just one of those, again, amazing reminders of the consistent truth of God's word, that it was men who read passages like the Tower of Babel and this who took it to be literal truth and found the oil reserves in this land. Again, just a consistency that's where we're moving through these moments in history is to never lose sight of that. This is history, our history. This is world history. It says, and they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their provisions, and they went their way. They also took Abram's brother's son who dwelt in Sodom and his goods and departed. So we had read that there was Lot looking outwardly like a follower of God as he sojourned. But inside, he wanted the things of Egypt. He wanted the position. He wanted the wealth. He wanted the best things for himself. And in doing so, he moved closer and closer to a city whose men were were vile and wicked. And in this grand first war of the Bible that we hear about, it says that Sodom and Gomorrah were on the losing side. And as a means of that Lot got swept up in the failure and the defeat of wickedness. Now, it's been said many, many times before by many. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you're willing to pay. This passage that we've read through, it simply should highlight for us the dangers of selfishness. That for Abraham, we're going to see with this moment in Egypt a reverberating consequence. As we'll read about a young maiden by the name of Hagar from Egypt. We hear about what happened with Lot and the division there, and now here being caught up. For Sarai to be Sarah, a husband who shows a care for self more than he would his wife, who he should love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. Lot, who with the eyes on possessions, desired those things and drew himself closer to the city where things are happening, and he got caught up in the sin and destruction of that area. I want us to just in this moment just to understand again that there's a danger to selfishness. But within that, the truth that God is always faithful to his word. To know that, as we saw last week and again here, that incomplete obedience is complete disobedience, and a half-truth is just a full lie. But like Abram, to become Abraham, we can make that change of mind, that change to turn back, to repent, go back to the altar of Jesus Christ, call on the Lord and hear him speak. Know his promises and walk in the abundance of his faithfulness. That again, that we may in moments of our life fear that we may never have the faith of Abraham. But I hope already we see here from the very beginning, you don't have to worry that you don't have the faith of the man you read about, because you have his God, who took him from this disobedient man to being a friend and a man of faith, a man who would be respected and named great, not because of himself, but because of who God said he would make him to be, a man known as the friend of God, who by the New Testament, all his failures aren't even mentioned. Again, the greatest commentary in Scripture is Scripture, and how Scripture looks at Abram, despite his failures, is a man of faith who was a friend of God. So no matter where you are in your life right now, maybe you're drifting towards Egypt. Maybe you're drifting towards Sodom and Gomorrah. Maybe you're telling a bunch of half-truths, complete lies. Maybe you're in a place of incomplete obedience and complete disobedience. What I'm here to tell you is of a faithful God who says, come to the altar that is Jesus Christ. Call on the name of the Lord, and he is faithful to strengthen and enlarge and call you by a new name. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for all that you've done for us, that Lord, despite any of our inadequacies, failures, Lord, in moments of doubt and in not trusting to be where you've called us to be, that, Lord, you are still faithful to your word as you were to Sarai. You had your hand to protect her. That, Lord, you're going to fulfill through this man, Abram, all that you said you would do. But God, we also get to see the blessing of a man who chooses in repentance to follow you, to put your kingdom above his own, and experience true and lasting strengthening that comes only by you. That, Lord, your faithfulness is not dependent upon our consistency, but rather just a complete nature of who you are, consistent, never changing, always faithful, always true. Lord, would your word take root in our heart? Would we put your kingdom above all things? Lord, would this world, during a time of panic, fear, feeling like we're in another famine, would they look upon the body of Christ and not see fighting? Lord, would the world know that we are your disciples by how we love each other? Because you first loved us. Father, thank you for all that you've done, all that you have planned. In your son's name, amen.
The Cover to Cover series is part of No Mere Mortal. The No Mere Mortal ethos derives from the biblically grounded and inspired work of C.S. Lewis in The Weight of Glory. You can find more No Mere Mortal content, including the Cover to Cover series, on our website at nomeremortal.org. Follow us on Twitter, Truth, Facebook, YouTube, Rumble, and most major podcasting services. Subscribe, follow, like, comment, leave a review, and share. The music you've heard has been provided by Sicko, that's C-I-K-K-0, and you can find him at YouTube at SickosBeatSuck797. My name is Bryce, and you are No Mere Mortal.